Good day, friends. It's good to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Once again, as we open the greatest book in the world and simply deal with a subject under the caption of Read It in Your Bible. This is the final broadcast in this current series dealing with Read It in Your Bible. We have presented 8 lessons based upon what God's Word teaches that we think are very thought-provoking from God's Word that might help you and your entire family to come to know God's Word better. And that's what your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have in mind with this broadcast. We mention to you from time to time that it is not meant to be a substitute for church attendance. For the book says in Hebrews 10:25 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But it is indeed a spiritual assistant designed to help you and your family to know what God's Word teaches. Now we know there are many who listen to the broadcast that know the Bible. But isn't it an interesting thing? The people who know the Bible and are aware of the fact of its importance are those who realize that we can never exhaust the marvelous truth teaching in God's Word. There's always more in the Bible. So even the pure mind, as it has been said in the Word of God, must be stirred up by way of remembrance. On the past broadcasts, we've dealt with God is light, no freedom without truth. We talked about powerless grace. We talked about the Word speaks to us. We talked about agreement with the Spirit, our spirit being in agreement with the Holy Spirit. We talked about the gospel as our guide, and last time on the broadcast, spiritual worship. If you're interested in the outlines that cover these subjects and the scriptures, we have them ready for you. It'll take a while to get them to your family circle, but if you want it, simply address a card or letter to this broadcast. You can either send it to the station that's airing the broadcast into your home, or to the congregation that sponsors it, then allow a period of time so that we can get the material to you. It's without cost or obligation, brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ, who desire for all men to come to know the truth that is able to make us all free. Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? And there's a very thought-provoking passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The point to be in Christ is in a secure and wonderful place. I was reading just the other day about the wonderful teaching that Paul gave to the Colossian brethren. And I'm going to take time on the broadcast today to go to that third chapter of Colossians and just look briefly here at the first 4 verses of the third chapter of Colossians. So we've given you 2 Corinthians 5:17 on the broadcast today already. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And now from Colossians, the third chapter, where these individuals were apparently in Christ. It says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, and this certainly indicates that we're a part of him, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For ye are dead, separated from sin, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I think we can say without fear of contradiction that when we try to speak as the Bible speaks, which we must do, then we're aware of the fact that there is no hope given in the Scripture for those who are out of Christ Jesus. Now, let me make it plain on the broadcast that I'm not rendering final judgment. I'm just simply preaching the Word of God. But if you would come up to me and you would say, is there hope for me? I'm not a Christian. Well, the only answer I could give is what the Word of God has to offer. You know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, according to Romans 6:23. What Scripture would you give to prove that you could be saved out of Christ Jesus? Now, by coming into Christ Jesus, as 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 suggests, we become a new creature. The 6th chapter of Romans says that we are planted in a likeness of his death, that's referring to baptism, and we come forth in likeness of his resurrection, knowing that the old man, the body of sin, is crucified, that that body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see, Jesus died, and it was a gesture of God's grace. But the only way that grace, as we told you on one of the broadcasts several weeks ago, The only way that that grace can become beneficial in your life is when you respond by faith. And that simply implies our obedience to the gospel primarily, and then going on to walk by faith and not by sight. But you see, there is no hope for an individual who is out of Christ Jesus. Isn't this what Jesus meant when he talked to Nicodemus in John the 3rd chapter? When the Son of God said, "Except we be born again, we cannot see the kingdom." And he said we must be born of the water and the Spirit to enter into the kingdom. To become a part of the kingdom is truly a deliverance from the power of darkness, according to Colossians 1:13, and an entrance into the kingdom of his dear Son. It's much like the book teaches in Acts 2:47, the last verse of that momentous chapter, where it says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved or were being saved. And what is the church? It is the spiritual body of Christ. It runs parallel with the kingdom. For those who were delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom were the same as the people who came from the darkness of sin and were added by the Lord to the church that they might go on to eternal salvation. The church then must be looked upon as the body of Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians 1:22-23, as well as Colossians 1:18. Now, we hope you're getting these passages. If you're not, why, certainly feel free to drop us a card. We'll send them to you. But in Ephesians 1:22-23, it mentions about Christ being made the head of the church by his Father, which is his body. So spiritually, when we put on Christ, we become a part of his spiritual body, which is his church. We become a citizen of his kingdom, where he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So as he is the King of the kingdom, he is also the head of the church. To become a part of Jesus Christ, we have put on a new man. We have become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Our old life has passed away. Now before us stretches a beautiful morning of life spiritually, that we might trod on, walking by faith, not by sight, to the eternal home of the soul. I want to assure you that if you're in Christ Jesus, that you have an advantage in your life. In the first place, spiritual blessings come to those who are in Christ. Now the Lord sends physical blessings upon all people. He sendeth his rain upon the just and upon the unjust. But the Lord gives spiritual blessings to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're aware of the fact, as we live for the Lord daily, that we have the opportunity of calling upon God as our Heavenly Father. Isn't that a blessing? You see, if you're not in Christ, how are you going to call God your Father? You're not in his family. But if you're born again, then you become a child of God. Then you can rightfully, in a biblical sense, call him your Heavenly Father. So Jesus, when he taught his apostles to pray there, prior to his death on the cross, he simply said, "Our Father who art in heaven." And then we're aware of the fact, as the Bible teaches, that we pray to Jesus, to God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's evident that this will help us in our daily Christian life. The 8th chapter of Romans speaks of the Spirit helping our infirmities. And then also the famous verse in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good, to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So if you put on Christ, we're a new creature. We have entered into a certain sense of spiritual security in which we have thrown the old man of sin behind, realizing that we are freed men and women, that we no longer need to serve sin. Someone might say on the broadcast today as you listen, "Well, how does a person know really how to put on Christ?" It's apparent that everyone who obeyed that gospel, as the Bible teaches, for it was a form of doctrine, were made free from sin, and they became servants of righteousness. We have said in times past that there are 5 things that are clearly taught in the New Testament Scripture that will tell an individual what to do to be saved from his past sins. We believe that we must speak as the Bible speaks. We believe we must encourage people to go all the way. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," in Mark 16:16. He added in that same verse, "He that believeth not shall be damned." The interesting factor is that if a man never did believe in Jesus Christ, he would not go on to complete obedience. But you see, if you hear the Word of God as the Bible teaches it, and you look at the fabulous accounts of conversion that are found in the notable book of Acts, then you'll find there are five things that are apparent there that will bring you from a state of out of Christ into Christ. In other words, you hear the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Our faith is vital, our belief in God. For in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible. Notice that. It's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, commanded repentance in Acts 17:30. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So it was a commandment of God. The confession of faith is vital. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, according to Acts 2:38, is very clearly taught in Galatians 3:27. The wonderful verse in Galatians 3:27 just simply tells us this: for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. May I ask you straight from the shoulder today, have you put on Christ? Have you obeyed that form of doctrine to be made free from sin, to become a servant of righteousness? Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ want to help you do this. If they can assist you, get in contact with them. Attend the services of the church and be with us next week as we begin a new series that will be based upon a Thus Saith the Lord. May God help us to know the truth that'll make us free, free from sin, and free to serve Him.